How's it, guys? Andrew here from Rainmaker Marketing. In this week's Your Key to Property, we'll be chatting to Jody Chetty and Ayanda Duma from Zimpiti Eco Estate, where we will be chatting eco estate living. Enjoy.
So last week was all about sustainability and ways to live off the grid on our homes with the amazing Collins Residential team. That was great, eh? Today we're in for an absolute treat with Jody Chetty from Zimpiti Eco Estate, who are pioneers in KZN for eco estate living. Now, Jody Chetty is Zimpiti Eco Estate's marketing and communications coordinator. Welcome to the show.
Hello, it's nice to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you with us. We've also got Ayanda Duma with us, the Zimpiti Eco Estate's environmental manager. How are you?
Hello, Danny.
I love your smile. It's so infectious.
He didn't say he likes my smile. I'm slightly jealous there.
Look, Jody, we're going to start with you. What are some of the practical ways that we can better incorporate good environmental practices and sustainable living into our homes and gardens?
So, Danny, as you know, Zimpiti Eco Estate, we're 19 years old. What we did in 2022, we started a series of engagements at management and board level, and this led to the launch of the Zimpiti strategy. So this is a document that overarches who we are, what we believe in, and how we plan to enhance the estate. And so in terms of sustainability for the estate as a whole, the vision of our estate is to guarantee the sustainability of Zimpiti Eco Estate. That means everything we do, undertake, and plan, we need to ensure our estate and the surrounds are maintained and that we get longevity. And then this is coupled with a mission to be widely recognized as the preeminent residential eco estate in Southern Africa. It's a big claim, but we're up to it. As a pioneering eco estate, we really wanted eco to be more than just the middle of our name. It needs to be threaded into the fiber of our words, deeds, and our actions. So this follows into the strategic initiatives. They propel our daily operations and future endeavors. We're talking self-sustainability, management excellence, technology and information, integration, and then ESG, big buzzword. But our homeowners association, we were one of the first to embark on an ESG dialogue. So we formulated a document that undergirds our management team while we guide our state and our community through what's an intriguing time, you know, for the environment at large. And then our values, integrity, commitment, accountability, respect, and excellence. This is implemented by our board, staff, and shared by the community. So as an estate, we're determined to go beyond lip service in terms of sustainability. And so in caring for the environment, we firmly believe in sharing our knowledge, creating opportunities for partnership and collaboration to just ensure that sustainable living is far more than just a buzzword at Zimpiti. So this includes sharing the knowledge we've gained over nearly two decades of Zimpiti, and that's, we're really proud to do that today.
You're amazing at what you do, truly. I mean
Thank
that
you.
From the bottom of my heart. Now, Ayanda, I'm just a dumb DJ, so I go to a nursery and I look at a plant and I think, oh, that would look good in my garden. But what can I plant in order to attract animals and birds and insects and stuff like that?
It's a beautiful question, because you're speaking about ecosystems. So we in Zimpiti, we pride ourselves in not just residents finding Zimpiti as a home, but also to our wildlife, our insects, and all the little microorganisms that you don't see with your naked eye at times. So we have an approved plant list, which caters for residents and obviously for DJs on consults.
A DJ plant.
Yes, as you have asked. So we have an approved plant list, which our residents look at, and it sort of gives you an indication of what you can plant in a shady area, in a sunny area, what species you can attract with the choice of plants you are using. And obviously we have our environmental departments, which is led by myself, where we visit residents on request to have a look at their gardens and help them achieve the goal in terms of what they want to attract in their gardens. But our plant list is indigenous endemic, which means all our plants are grown between Otsogela and Umgeni River. So they occur naturally within the area. They would have occurred naturally in the area. Therefore, everything that we do is conservation and restoration. So if you use our plants, you are sure to attract any animal, but we are there to also guide our residents.
Now, Sunday's a big day for me, because not only because I'm talking to both of you, but because I've kept officially an orchid alive for 2 years. So
wow.
That's, I mean, it's a round of applause.
Wow.
Not
wow.
bad. Hey?
I killed him immediately. No, but
she killed the speck boom.
I killed the speck boom. It was bad.
Now, Ayanda, what is the difference between indigenous and alien plants? And what's the latest trend in homes these days from a landscaping perspective?
So, Danny, indigenous plants are plants that occur naturally in South Africa, or KZN to be more specific, and they would strive in whatever weather conditions, as you know that climate change is the thing that's taking place currently. So indigenous plants are plants that will occur here naturally and they'll grow and they'll thrive. And alien plants are plants that originated from outside of South Africa or outside of KZN. And they've come here probably by a gift or whatever, but they are here. And then if they found growing in a natural area or in your garden, they would tend to take over the natural species. Therefore, there'll be competition for nutrients such as water and space. And therefore, you find that they'll spread and they will just take over an area. So that's why they're regarded as aliens. And obviously, they don't serve any purpose in the ecosystem in that nothing eats those plants. Nothing can benefit from those plants. It can't even reduce our carbon footprints. Therefore, that's why we regard them as alien weeds.
And here I was thinking an alien plant was a plant from Benoni. Anyway, so look, there's a buzz around something you've just mentioned, which is spekboom and certain water-wise plants as being better to have in your garden with climate change and even due to water scarcity. So what's your take on all of this? And does it really make a difference to the environment and ka-ching, ka-ching, your water bill?
Of course it does. So the whole plant palette or plant list or plants used in Simbiti are endemic, and I explained what endemic means. It means that they naturally occurred there. And you'd know in ancient history, nobody was there to water the garden. Nobody was there to tend to the vegetation, but it just thrived naturally. So that is the whole idea of the use of endemic or indigenous vegetation, because if it thrives naturally, then you don't need to water it. It's self-sustainance. So which means it goes back to our eco and goes back to our board strategy under the pillar sustainability. So having natural vegetation, you don't need water and it will thrive without water. But then you can use water if you want to improve your aesthetics, but your garden won't die because you didn't water it. And then in terms of carbon footprints, there's a saying that says if your garden is not eaten by anything or your plants are not chewed by anything, it's not part of the ecosystem. Therefore, every plant that is used or every vegetation group or area that we possess as an estate is playing a role in the carbon footprints. As you would know that plants give out oxygen and take out CO2, so they cause houses and homes to be cooler. They give an environment where one can think, where one can find peace. So it really does play a big part, and spekboom has been promoted as plants that helps in those aspects. But it's not just spekboom. It's indigenous vegetation. It's the different grounds and areas of natural vegetation. It's grasslands, it's wetlands, it's swamp forest, it's coastal forest, it's everything environmental.
Ayanda, I wish I could just steal your brain for the weekend to impress my family and friends. Anyway, Jody, look, how much should, or should I say, does sustainability lend itself to our actual homes and the type of building materials or anything else that's used to be considered truly eco-friendly?
So I think the interesting thing here, Danny, is that what I'm going to tell you about Simbiti also applies even if you don't live on the estate. So one of the key objectives in our ESG portion of the strategy is to comply with EDGE Green Building Principles. So as a HOA, we're actually leading the charge within our own projects. We recycle materials. So if you go to one of our community centers or the entrance of our HOA, you'll find wood there. That's from the old deck at our country club. So one of the things that we do, it's encapsulated in our design code. There is a clause there that's around sustainable building design. And so we ask architects when they design to apply this to the houses at Simbiti, but you can apply this to any where you're building or if you're retrofitting. So if you work with the natural terrain of the site, the natural flow of the site, the natural dilation, so that you don't disrupt the land that's already eco-friendly, integrate your property with appropriate landscaping, create spaces that encourage insulation during the colder months and will give you shade in the warmer months, purposefully design your house to create natural cool spaces so you're not using air conditioning all the time, encourage rainwater harvesting, connecting this to your irrigation and plumbing systems. We do this at all of our community centers. Use energy efficient lighting, here's a big one. Include softer energy saving bulbs. This cuts down on light pollution. So on Simbiti, we encourage solar power too. And I think with the current electricity state, solar power is big. And so a lot of our residents are retrofitting this. And so we do encourage solar power. And then when contractors come to build on the estate, we do encourage them use eco-friendly building materials and then incorporate sustainable business practices into construction. But for us at Sihoa, and I think for anyone who's building or retrofitting, synergy absolutely is key. If you work with nature, not against it, it's going to make for a home and a property that's aesthetically pleasing, but it's kind to the environment as well. It's give you that warm, fuzzy feeling that I've been kind to the environment in my build.
Do you know what? I just want to take this opportunity to thank you for being on the show today, because to have your knowledge in the studio is just such a privilege. So if you have any questions for Jody or Ayanda, now's your time to shine. 061-792-9495, and they will answer your question before 2 o'clock today. Jody, Ayanda, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you, Denny.
Ayanda, talk to us about the latest trends in landscaping.
So the latest trends in landscaping is landscaping that fits in with the natural elements of the area. Like what Jody has touched in terms of our building design code, and how when you build your house, you want to build and join and merge with the natural surroundings. So currently the trends are grassland fill, like a grassland fill around the property. So homeowners are going for two options. One is the natural grassland fill, and the second one is a coastal forest fill. So people may choose to have a forest behind their homes, or choose to have a grassland that surrounds their property. As you know, that grasslands are one of a few in KZN, and we do promote grasslands more in Simbiti due to their rarity. So I would say it's a grassland and a coastal forest fill, and as natural as possible. And people tend to make a mistake between manicured garden landscaping installations and natural landscaping installations. So natural landscaping installations is where you see a property that's being landscaped and looks bushy, if I can say,
right,
or wild, if I can say.
Yeah.
And you say, oh, but this is like wild and unkept.
Like my hair, yeah.
It's not really wild and unkept, but it's actually natural, and it actually encourages biodiversity, because you have different species in different areas. We cover about 53 species in one garden. And manicured landscaping is basically monochrome planting, where it's monoculture. It's just one species or three species in one garden. And the diversity in that area is very limited. So back to the trends. The trends are more grassland and coastal forest, and having landscapes as natural as possible and fitting in with the natural environment.